The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
And let's key in again on verse number 5 there. And, of course, talking about Jesus, it says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." Here in this passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us that the Jews were seeking to kill Jesus. The Bible says that he could no longer go among the Jews to preach the truth of God's word. The Jews did not believe in him, and in fact, they wanted to get rid of him and get rid of his influence. His brethren even told him to depart from them and to go unto his disciples. In modern-day vernacular, they were basically telling him to go on back to church with all that Bible stuff. I don't want none of it. The Bible says neither did his brethren believe in him. Jesus knew what it was like to feel like everybody was against him and nobody was for him. Jesus knew what it was like to come to his own, and the Bible says his own received him not. Jesus knew what it was like to have someone that was close to him, someone that was supposed to be his friend, to turn his back on him and to betray him. He was no stranger to grief. He was no stranger to pain. He was no stranger to suffering. He was no stranger to loneliness. He knew what it was like to have people that did not believe in him. And may I say tonight that you and I may be in that boat tonight where we feel like that nobody believes in us. We don't fit in. We don't feel accepted. We feel like the oddball. We feel like the third wheel, so to speak. But can I tell you that Jesus, the Bible says that we do not have a high priest that is not touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what we're going through. He knows how we feel. And can I tell you, he is a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. The Bible says here in John chapter 3 that Jesus knew what it was like for Nicodemus to not believe in him at first as he questioned the validity of what he was sharing with him. As he sat in the judgment hall just before his crucifixion, he knew what it was like to have people not believe in him as the Christ, as the Son of God, as the long sought after Messiah in Luke chapter 22. On the road to Emmaus, shortly after his resurrection in Luke chapter 24, he knew what it was like for two men to not believe in him and to question what the prophets had foretold about him. So as he was living, when he was nearing the end of his life, and even after he was gone, he knew what it was like to feel like nobody believed in him. Can I restate the sermon title tonight? Everybody needs somebody to believe in them. Can I say, number one, tonight that Jesus believes in you. Jesus believes in you. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 8 and just a few passages or a few pages over. John chapter number 8. I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture here and view a few people in the Bible that Jesus believed in. In John chapter 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them." Verse number 3 says, "And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" Of course, we know that they were trying to trip Jesus up. Verse number 6, it says, "This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not." By the way, I think it's important to stop and note that guess what? When people start accusing people in front of you, that doesn't mean that you automatically ought to respond. Sometimes when you respond, you dig yourself a deep hole. And Jesus did not respond. In fact, he stooped down and began writing on the ground as though he heard them not. John chapter 8, verse 7 continues, and it says, "So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground." And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said there in verse 11, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Here we have a story about a woman that was accused of adultery by the scribes and Pharisees. They didn't believe in her. They thought it was right to throw the book at her and to stone her. But Jesus stooped down and drew in the sand and said, Let him that is without sin cast the first stone. One by one they left because they were all guilty. He lifted himself up and looked, and there was no one left but her and Jesus. Just her and him. And he asked her this question, Where are your accusers? Is there not anybody that is here to condemn you? She said, There's nobody to condemn me. He said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Can I say, first of all, tonight, in the fact that Jesus believes in you, can I tell you that we need less accusers and more believers? See, the thing about it is, sitting in a church this size, or even if you're sitting out in some little bitty church out in Pudunk Collar, where there's only 30 or 40 people, every church, it's very easy to look out and start accusing people and start pointing out their faults and their failures and their defeats. It's very easy to do that. It's very hard to reach down and pick them up. The Bible says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. And then it says, you better consider yourself, because you could be the next one to fall. Can I tell you this? We need more believers. People who will believe in people rather than accusing people. Jesus did not believe in her sin, but can I tell you, he still believed in her. You may have your own faults in your life, and you've blown it, and you've messed up. Maybe it's morally, maybe it's some addiction. One thing this Reformers Unanimous program has opened up my eyes is to see that there's a whole heap of folks out there that are addicted to some bad behavior. By the way, God calls it the besetting sin, and by the way, we all have one. It's just, in some people's lives, it's more noticeable than others. Those who have grown up in church have learned to hide it and hide behind the suit and the King James Bible and hide behind a song book and hide behind some service in the church. But can I tell you, we all have struggles in our life. And can I tell you, everybody needs somebody to believe in them. We don't need people in the church to point at everybody's faults and failures, but yet we need someone to reach down, as Jesus did, and say, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to judge you. Listen, that's the type of person, that's the type of church that we ought to be. Can I tell you tonight that Jesus believes in you? He doesn't accuse you. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't hold sin over your head. Thank God that he doesn't hit us over the head every time that we mess up, because we'd be a bunch of knotheads. Amen. Can I tell you, thank God that he's merciful. That means he don't give us what we do deserve. Thank God for his grace, which means he gives us a whole lot more than what we deserve. Thank God he's long-suffering and patient with us and doesn't give up on us. Can I tell you, our church needs some people that will decide tonight that I'm not going to be one that gives up on people too quick, and I'm going to be more like Jesus, that doesn't condemn and doesn't accuse. See, that's the devil's mode of operation. He's the accuser of the brethren, but that's not our Lord. Can I say, Jesus believes in you? He believed in that woman taking it up. Oh, he didn't believe in her sin, but he believed in her as a person. We need less accusers and more believers. May I say, second of all, and take your Bible and turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, very familiar passage of Scripture, very familiar story in the Bible, but I want us to look at it together in John chapter 4, and we're going to read a few verses here together. John chapter 4, verse number 7, it says, Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Verse number 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So the Jews did not believe in the Samaritans. They're from the wrong side of the track. And we don't want to have dealings with them. But Jesus, the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. He had a divine appointment with somebody that the Jews would have criticized him for reaching out to. John chapter 4, verse 10 through 26, of course, gives us the account where he introduces himself to her as the living water and as the Messiah that the Jews were seeking for. And then jump down to verse number 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Even the Lord's disciples did not believe that he ought to be talking to her, but they were too chicken to say anything. I believe I'd have been chicken too. That was the Lord, amen? But they didn't even believe in her, that she was worth the Savior, the Lord, talking to her, because she was a Samaritan. Look at verse 28. The Bible says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. You see, Jesus believed in her. He did not look at the color of her skin. He did not look at her social status. He did not look at her background. He just said he must needs go through Samaria. Now, guess what? He didn't tiptoe through the tulips around her sin. Amen. He said, listen, go get your husbands. Well, I don't have husbands. Thou hast rightly said you had five of them. The one you're shacking, this is the KWC version, the one you're shacking up with, you ain't even married to. So he didn't tiptoe through the tulips and cover up her sin and sweep it under the rug. But can I tell you, he was very compassionate in dealing with her sin. And he led her to Jesus. And then she even forgot why she was there. The Bible says she left her water pot. She didn't even take time to fill up the water pot and go back home with it. She went straight back to the men she'd been sleeping around with and says, come see a man that told me whatever I've done. It's not this the Messiah. And guess what? Then all these men, it was first bus route right there. I mean, just all these men coming to see Jesus. You know why that happened? You know why? And listen, you want to reach people? Can I tell you, you better believe in people like Jesus believed. Because Jesus believed in her. He looked past the exterior. He looked past the fact that she was a Samaritan. And he reached into her life and he saved her soul and it changed her. He went out of his way to talk to her. He was not concerned whether she was a Jew or not. He was interested in her soul being saved and becoming what she ought to be. Can I say this? We need less proselyters and more believers. Say, what's a proselyter? That's somebody that goes knocking doors looking for somebody exactly like they are. Can I tell you, my Bible says, go ye out into highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Amen. Yes, and he sent his servants out. He says, go out there and to the lame and the blind and the maimed and compel them to come in. Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. You know, we've got a lot of great new church members that are already what we are. You know why? Because they were looking for who we are. We didn't reach them out on the streets. We went and reached the poor. They were looking for a church that cared about people. They were looking for a church that preached the unadulterated word of God and stood high and had high standards and kept them mute. They were looking for that. But that doesn't necessarily mean we was out trying to find somebody. We're not proselyters. We're soul winners. Amen. We're not, listen, when they come in, no, they may not be exactly like you. But can I tell you, preachers interested, and I think our church is interested in finding somebody that may not be exactly like us, but they can come in our direction. But the problem is most of us aren't patient enough with them to allow them time to grow. We don't give them space to come our way. And can I tell you, shame on us if we're that way. Jesus was not that way. He went to where she was at. He led her to himself, and then she immediately became a soul winner. That's the best program in the church to plug newborn again believers in. Amen. Listen, she went right back in and she was a soul winner immediately. Oh, she didn't have it all together, but God still used her. And then all these men came, and he led them to Christ, I'm sure, himself. Can I remind you tonight, everybody needs somebody to believe in them. Can I tell you, Jesus believes in you. He doesn't look down on you because you're not like everybody else. He doesn't compare you to anybody else. He loves you. Everybody is welcome at Parkside Baptist Church. Listen, it's not all about if you attend the Christian school, amen. I wish I could have attended a Christian school. The closest Christian school that was around was 45 minutes away. There was no way. And so we had to go to a public school. But can I tell you, if you're here tonight and you're a part of that public school, guess what? God can still use you. God can still change you. God can still work in your life. God can still grow you. God can still bring you to where you need to be, amen. Everybody needs somebody to believe in them. So first we see the woman caught in adultery. No, Jesus did not believe in her sin, but he believed in her. And then we find the woman of Samaria. No, she was not of the status that the Jews appreciated, and the Jews did not believe in her, but Jesus believed in her. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26, and we're going to look at a few verses here in Matthew chapter number 26 and verse 6. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 6. The Bible says this, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." Verse number 8, "But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." See, the disciples didn't believe in this woman and what she was doing with her alabaster box. They were angry and upset and looked at what she was doing as being a waste. Look at verse number 10. It says, "When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Jesus looked at the woman totally different than the disciples did. They were upset. They didn't believe in her. They believed that what she was doing was a waste, and she's wasting that, and it could have been sold and given to the poor. They weren't worried about the poor. Bible says immediately after that happened, Judas went out there and started confiding in the scribes and the Pharisees to sell Jesus to them for 30 pieces of silver. They weren't concerned about the poor. They were concerned about their pocketbook. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus looked at that woman totally different. He said she's done a good work, and she said that people would know about and be talking about what she had done for centuries to come, and we're still talking about her today. Can I tell you this? We need less criticizers and more believers. The disciples were criticizing that woman that she wasted that alabaster box on Jesus. Can I tell you, ain't nothing that you put on Jesus is a waste. I tell the senior saints, God bless them dear people, you know, and they can't do what they used to do, and they can't do what they'd want to do, but I always tell them, I said, listen, it was that little widow woman with those two mites, and Jesus was watching them, and said that little widow woman with her two mites had put in more than all them, because they put it in her abundance, but she gave all that she had. I remind them all the time, it was that little lad with the lunch. Disciples wanted to sit everybody packing and going back to town to find something to eat. And Jesus says, no, what do we have? Well, we got a little lad, you know, for a few fish and a few pieces of bread. He said, bring that to me. And the lad gave up his lunch. And then when it was all done and said, they took 12 baskets full. You see, God's not so interested in what you used to do. He's not even, listen, he's interested in what are you doing right now. The Bible says if you'll give a cup of cold water in my name, you'll not lose your reward. You say, well, a cup of cold water, that ain't worth much. It is to somebody who's thirsty. Don't you underestimate and devalue your service for Christ. You just find something to do and do it faithfully, amen, and God will bless you. We need less criticizers and more believers. Jesus believed in this woman and said, listen, we're going to make a memorial out of him. We're going to talk about her, and she did it for good. And can I tell you that there's a whole heap of folks in this church that are going about doing good. And there may be some that are newly saved and new members, and maybe you haven't found your niche yet, and maybe you haven't figured out where you fit yet, and maybe you feel like maybe I'm not accepted, and maybe I don't fit in yet. Can I tell you, just keep trudging along and being faithful, and God will give you something to do. Amen. It's very easy to be like the disciples are and criticize. Well, they're not exactly like we are. Well, duh, that'd be a boring world. Thank God they're not exactly like you. Thank God they're not exactly like me. Jesus believed in that woman, though the disciples criticized her. Job chapter 1, take your Bibles and turn there. Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. Bible says in Job chapter number 1, verse 1, it says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Verse number 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. In other words, the Lord went and said, have you considered my servant Job? Jesus believed in Job. Verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Now, I don't know if he could say that about us. But he could say that about Job. He believed that Job would retain his integrity no matter what Satan did in his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. He was having a pretty bad day. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job's own wife didn't believe in him and thought he ought to give up on God, just curse God and die. But Jesus, can I tell you, believed in him. Though he had enough faith in Job that he would stay true to him regardless of what happened to him, and God allowed Satan to test that theory. Can I tell you, we've all had times, circumstances, challenges in life that come our way. None of us have had quite as bad a day as what Job had. But yet, Jesus, God Almighty, had enough faith and believed in Job that regardless of what would come his way, he'd stay true blue. Can I tell you, I wonder if he has that much faith in us tonight, that regardless of the challenges and the circumstances that come our way, financial dilemma, family problems, and all these things hopped into one, does he have enough faith in us? Does he believe in us enough? Can I tell you, Jesus does believe in you. Satan tested the theory. And in Job 13:15, the Bible says, Job answered this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. The theory was tested, and it became a reality as Job lost everything. And the Bible records Job's response there in chapter 13, verse 15. I think it's very interesting to note the latter part of that verse, though. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But watch this, I will maintain mine own ways before him. When the challenges come and the defeats come and the faults come and the failures come, can I tell you, you ought to decide, I'm going to maintain my ways before Him. It's amazing to me that a lot of times when challenges and circumstances come, listen, the church is the first thing to get cut out. Bible reading is the first thing to get cut out. Prayer time is the first thing to get cut out. Soul winning is the first thing to get cut out. We cut God out, and He's the answer to our problem. And Job didn't just say, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him, as he skipped out on God. No, he said, I'll maintain my ways before Him. I'm just going to be faithful. He didn't have Romans 8:28, but we do. We know that all things work together for good, and them that love God and are called according to His purpose, it's going to work out good. But he didn't even have that verse of Scripture to claim, but we do. But yet we start teeter-tottering. And we start, we trust Him, yes, we know we're going through a time, we're going to trust Him, but are we maintaining our ways before Him? Jesus believed in Him, the point that he said, listen, whatever you want to do, Satan, that's up to you. And he had enough faith that he could say that. God's theory became a reality as Job lost everything, when also in Job chapter 13, verse 21 and 22 is recorded, and he says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Can I remind you tonight, everybody needs somebody to believe in them. We need less discouragers and more believers. I mean, it's sad that this is even in the Bible, that someone's own wife would discourage them and just say, listen, for all this, dost thou still retain that integrity? Curse God and die. She doesn't give up on Him. May it never be said that we give up on those that we should love the most. Why? Because everybody needs somebody to believe in them. Take your Bibles, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter number 16, and we're going to look at a few verses here. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 1 through 7. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 7. May I say that Jesus believed in the woman taken in adultery. And I don't care what your sin is, you can never go too far that God can't reach you. And you can never go so far that God can't forgive you. Why? Because Jesus believes in you just like He believed in her. Jesus believed in the woman of Samaria. He didn't look at the outside. He looked on the inside, and He led her to Himself, and she became a great soul winner. And can I tell you, He believes in you just the same, though you may not have all of the things together like some would perhaps think that you should. And then Jesus believed in this woman who broke the alabaster box, even though the disciples stood over in the corner and criticized her. He encouraged her, and He lifted her up on high, and He didn't criticize, but He praised her. And then we find here in Job, though he lost everything, he retained his integrity, and Jesus believed in him enough, even when his wife said, curse God and die, and tried to discourage him, he kept on going. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. The Bible says, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto him, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. And I love this next verse. But go your way, tell His disciples. What's the next two words? And Peter. Wait a minute, wasn't Peter a disciple? Yeah, but he wanted to make sure that Peter didn't feel like he's left out, even though he'd blown it. He says, go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He go up before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him as He said unto you. Can I tell you, a lot of times Peter gets a bad flack. But can I tell you, it doesn't say anything else about the rest of the disciples following afar off. They tucked tail and fled. You didn't even hear nothing about them. But Peter followed afar off. Oh yeah, he gets a flag that he was warming his hands at the fire, and then he gets a flag because he denied the Lord, but at least he was there. You don't see anything else recorded about anybody else being there. Oh, he wasn't doing right while he was there, but he was at least there. Can I tell you that this angel said to him, tell his disciples and Peter. God wanted to make sure that Peter knew, though he had blown it, though he denied the Lord, he wanted him to know that, hey, listen, what you did wasn't right. In fact, the Bible says that when they were there and the cock crowed the third time, that Jesus and Peter met eyes, and the Bible says that Peter wept bitterly. He was disappointed in himself that he had denied the Lord, though he said, Lord, I'll die for you. He was disappointed in himself, but even after all that, Jesus made sure that it was told him, tell his disciples and Peter. By the way, 50 days later, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Now, we wouldn't have allowed him to preach at our Bible conference. I mean, he wouldn't have been the one on the big invite list, you know, for who's who in fundamentalism. But thank God Jesus didn't treat him like we would treat him. Thank God Jesus gave him a chance. Thank God that 50 days later he preached on the day of Pentecost and the power of God fell down and 3,000 plus people got saved and baptized. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, you can never go too far and you never get so far away from God that God can't do something. Can I remind you tonight that everybody needs somebody to believe in them? Can I tell you, Jesus believes in you. Jesus believes in you. Can I say number two, others believe in you. Take your Bibles, Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. We're going to look at verse number 35. Acts chapter 15, verse number 35. Acts chapter 15, verse 35, the Bible says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Notice verse number 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now remember, John Mark had already been on a missionary journey, but for whatever reason, we don't know why, but he quit. Whatever reason, he gave up and he went back home. I'm not sure why, but Barnabas here, we find he's determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And this contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. In other words, there was one preacher that didn't believe in him and say he's washed up. He's made too many mistakes. He's not even worthy to be a member of the church no more. He didn't do that. But then he had another preacher that said, no, I believe in him. And can I tell you, if we were honest, everybody here can think to somebody that believes in you. Somebody that's reached out to you. Somebody that's invested in you. Somebody that has loved you. Somebody that has prayed for you. How many times you go out soul winning and then you meet somebody in their 20s and say, well, no, I'm not in church, but, you know, or maybe, oh, I'm not saved, but grandmama's praying for me. Why? Because I've never met a grandmama that didn't believe in their grandchildren, amen? But can I tell you, you've got somebody in your life that believed in you. Barnabas believed in John Mark. Can I say this? We need less quitters and more believers. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, yeah, we don't need to quit like John Mark. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, we need more quit. We need less quitters. In other words, those that quit on people. See, we love a sermon, you know, don't quit like John Mark. What about don't quit on a John Mark? Can I tell you, I don't know about you, I thank God 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we love, we'll shout on the rooftop, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. But when it comes to us, but when it comes to somebody else, You know, we're not sure that, I'm not even sure that verse is inspired for somebody else. No, guess what? That verse was in there for them too. If they confess their sin, even if it's the same sin, guess what? He's faithful and just to forgive them of their sin and to cleanse them from all their unrighteousness, just like he is you. But why is it we get so puffed up with pride that we think we got it going on, we think we got it all together, and we're quick to jump on a high horse and preach to somebody and get on their case when we don't even look in the mirror and realize if it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be where we're at. So Jesus believes in you, but others believe in you. Everybody needs somebody to believe in them. Paul had quit on John Mark, but thank God that Barnabas did not quit on him. By the way, maybe you've quit on yourself. Maybe you've quit on yourself. You've quit believing in yourself. You don't think that you're worthy. You don't think that God could use you. You don't think that God could forgive you. You don't think that you're valuable to God. You don't think that God could give you a second or third or a millionth chance. You don't think that it's worth trying anymore. Can I tell you, it's worth trying. The Apostle Paul, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners, but he also wrote, inspired under the Holy Spirit of God, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, forgetting that which is behind and pressing toward the mark. In other words, the Apostle Paul knew that he wasn't much. But he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, the things that I don't want to do are the things that I find myself doing. And the things that I don't want to do, things that I should be doing, I don't do. But he said, I can do all things. It's about time you brush yourself off. And the Bible says the just man falleth 7 times and riseth again. Say, well, Brother Craig, you don't understand. I'm on my 49th time. Yeah, thank God the disciples asked that for you. And when they said, how often should we forgive somebody? 7 times? He said, no, 70 times 7. Listen, if you can keep track, have you ever been counting something and somebody come up and ask you a question and you just want to take your fist and shove it in their throat? You know, because it already makes the 5th time that you started over counting and they just interrupted you. Now you're going to be on your 6th time. He wasn't saying get you a calculator and get you a notepad and you know, put a, you know, a number of your paper 1 to 49 so you could keep track of it. No, or 409. No, it was because he knew our human, we would never remember it. And that's what God does. Thank God that he doesn't remember our sin no more. Thank God that it's cast in the deepest sea. Thank God it's cast from east from the west. Thank God it's cast behind our bed, his back. And thank God that he forgets it and he don't remember it. By the way, why don't you be more like Jesus instead of constantly digging up the evil against somebody? Every time you get in an argument, say, well, you did this, you know, 3 weeks ago. Why don't you, listen, if God forgave them and they're having a tough time forgiving themselves, why don't you give them a break and forgive them like Jesus did? So whether you've quit on yourself or you feel like somebody else has quit on you or you think that God's through with you, can I introduce you? Everybody needs somebody to believe in them. And number one, Jesus believes in you. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've gone. Doesn't matter how far you, doesn't matter how long you've been out of the flock. Listen, the water's fine. Jump back in, amen. It doesn't matter. Listen, God is not so concerned with where you've been or where you are. He's interested in where you're headed. You see, if it's the truth that God knows everything from beginning to end, then guess what? He knows the decisions you're making. Instead of wallowing around in self-pity and feeling sorry for yourself and what a pickle that you've made out of your life, why don't you, listen, stick that pickle in the devil's mouth and brush yourself off, claim God's forgiveness, get victory, start taking steps in the right direction. Amen. You can do something for God. You can be used for God. Quit, and listen, just get busy. Jesus believes in you. Others believe in you. Start believing in yourself like Jesus and others believe in you. Let me give you a few points of application. Start praising instead of accusing or criticizing. Quit pointing out all the wrong that everybody's doing and start praising them even for the smallest minuscule victory. I told him Friday night in RU, he says, well, I didn't do nothing but show up to reformers. Listen, I'd rather be sitting in my recliner sipping my sweet tea, amen, on Friday night. But guess what? It is a sacrifice to be there. But if you want victory, guess what? It takes sacrifice. It takes time. And guess what? It takes work. But let's not devalue when we show up to church. Let's not devalue, oh, well, I ain't been soul winning, and you know, I ain't been soul winning since Noah got off the ark. Listen, that doesn't mean you can't come this Saturday. Well, I ain't been on a Wednesday night Bible study. That don't mean you can't come this Wednesday. Well, you know, I ain't read my Bible in 3 weeks. That don't mean you can't start reading it in the morning. Or better yet, while it's fresh on your mind, start reading it tonight. Well, I ain't prayed a lick. I mean, you know, I got this prayer list, and I'd probably have to go find it. I probably don't even know where it's at. I'd probably have to blow the dust off of it. Ain't been used. That don't mean you can't pray tonight. The fact is, though, when somebody in your life starts doing something right, start praising them. It's very easy to point out the wrong. How about pointing out the right? How about this, letter B, start discipling and reaching out to others and helping others instead of expecting everybody else to be just like you. How about reaching out to somebody and disciple somebody and help somebody instead of setting the standard up here? You don't listen, you can't even climb up on that pedestal you set up for everybody else. Let her see, start encouraging and being positive instead of discouraging and tearing down and being negative. Start encouraging. Listen, God made your mouth, and He didn't make my mouth, and He didn't make your mouth to tear people down, amen. He made it to praise and to tell people about Jesus and encourage. That's what He made our mouth for. How about this? Find someone who believes in you and stick close to them. Instead of shutting somebody out that's reaching out to you and saying nobody cared, why don't you realize they reached out to you because they care? So don't shut them out. Find somebody that believes in you. And by the way, can I tell you this? Everybody in this room's got a whole bunch of somebodies that believe in you. It's not just one or two. It's not just the preacher, but there's a whole bunch of somebodies. But the fact is when people reach into your life, if you shut them out, they'll quit reaching in. And you'll blame them when actually it's your fault for shutting them out in the first place. So you find somebody that believes it and stick to them like white on rice and like glue in the whatever. Stick to them. Quit running away from them. Quit avoiding them. They shoot you a text, respond, amen. Tell them thank you for believing in me. What about this? Find somebody that you can believe in and stick close to them and help them grow and become the person God wants them to be. Don't be so quick to give up on them just because they're not exactly like you. And then the last thing is this. Don't give up on anyone because God has never given up on you. I dare say that everybody in this room, myself included, has given up on somebody. Well, it's about time that you put wood in that fire and start rekindling that relationship again because they need you. They need you. And by the way, you need them. Can I introduce to you tonight? Everybody needs somebody to believe in them. Jesus believes in you. Others believe in you. You need to start believing in yourself, and you need to start putting these things into practice. Everybody needs somebody to believe in them. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.